Bibles and open with me, if you would please, to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And as we've said, today is Palm Sunday. And this is a Sunday when we remember Christ's entrance into Jerusalem, riding on a colt. Pandemonium here for the first few moments, right? As kids figure, no, that's quite all right. As we figure out where the kids are going. Gospel of Mark chapter 11, and we're going to do something a little bit different today. I hope you can handle that. Normally, we read a passage and then we go down through it verse by verse. We call that verse by verse exposition. I'm not going to do verse by verse exposition today. But what I am going to do, as I read the story to you, I will give some answers to questions that we would normally ask if we were going verse by verse. And then we're going to focus in on one question. Which question do you think it is? Why? Why? So let's take a look. Mark chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem, stop for a moment, they is Jesus, his 12 disciples, and a large crowd of people that had been following ever since at least Jericho. They're coming into Jerusalem from the east, coming up the hill into the city, and when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany, two little towns about a mile or two to the east of the city. Kind of like Blend is a mile or so to the east of Pueblo. They drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives was a ridge that ran north to south along the eastern side of the city. And you could look across the Kidron Valley into the city of Jerusalem. It was called the Mount of Olives because of all the olive groves up there. When they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he, that's Jesus, sent two of his disciples. We don't know which two, but he sent two of them to a little village. Verse 2, and he said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and immediately he will send it here." These are the very simple instructions that Jesus Christ gave to two of his disciples in the presence of the multitude that was with him. He's simply saying, go into the village. You'll find a colt there at the entrance to the village. It'll be tied up. No one has ever sat on that colt before. If anyone asks you, and they did, they will ask, why are you doing this? You just give an answer, and they'll let the colt go, and you bring it back here. Verse 4, so they went their way. Why? Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And the disciples are learning to trust that what Jesus tells them is true. If it's about a past event, what he's told them about the past is true. If it's a future event, like you will find a colt, or we will enter the kingdom, it's true. What Jesus says is true. They went their way, and they found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there, verse 5, said to them, "What are you doing, loosing this colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, so those people let them go. Did you notice, by the way, that Jesus knew the place of the colt? It would be at the entrance to the village. The condition of the colt? It would be tied outside. The life history of the colt? No one has ever sat on this colt. He knew all that. He also knew there would be people there who would see them, who would question what they were doing. Jesus knows. Right? One of the lessons is simply Jesus knows. He knows all things. And here he let the disciples know in advance. Well, verse 7, they brought the colt to Jesus. They threw their clothes on it, kind of like a makeshift saddle, and he sat on it. And many people, by this time, the other gospel writers tell us there were crowds coming out from the city because they heard that this one who had just recently raised Lazarus from the dead was coming into the city. So crowds were coming out from the city, and there were crowds of people following since Jericho. There's this massive crowd of people. And it says here, verse 8, many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from trees. John's gospel says they cut down branches from palm trees, thus the name Palm Sunday. And they are spreading these kind of like an ancient rolling out of the red carpet. They're rolling out the carpet made of their own clothes. They're laying their robes on the street. They're paving the street in front of Jesus as he rides into town on a carpet of palm branches and clothes. And verse 9, then those who went before and those who followed cried out, Hosanna! Save now! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. What are they thinking? They are thinking, this is the king. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Here's the king. Hosanna in the highest. Save now, you who are in the highest place. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. There you go. Palm Sunday. The Spirit of God has painted the picture for us in words. And it's a picture of a massive crowd of people, amongst them the disciples of Christ. A colt that was obtained by two of his disciples, found just as he had said. They bring the colt out. They put a makeshift saddle on it. Jesus rides into the city with crowds before and behind crying out, Hosanna! Save now. Why? Why? Why did Jesus Christ choose at this point in time, at this point in his ministry, to ride into the city of Jerusalem on a colt? And interestingly, you do not find in Mark's gospel a line that says, and this was done because, and you do not find in Mark's gospel, this was done in order that. No clear statement of reason or purpose in the Gospel of Mark. And by the way, beloved, that is very often the case. You will read things in Scripture, and there will be questions brought to your mind like, why? And there may not be an explicit answer in the text. At which point, you have several options. And in fact, the first readers of Mark's Gospel had several options. One, which many take, is to assume there is no reason. There is no purpose. Jesus was just an eccentric. He was mysterious. You could never predict. There was no reason or purpose to what he did. And you know what? Some people conclude that. They say, who can understand this? They don't ask questions. They just assume that there is no understanding to the things that Jesus says or to the things that he did. John 6 is an example when Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot have life. And the people said, who can listen to this? And they walked away. And you know, many people do that today. Listen, beloved, to assume is not wise. Certainly not when you come to Scripture. So don't assume anything here. A second option for the first readers of Mark's Gospel and for you when you come to questions that aren't answered in the text is to speculate. You just say, well, you know, I think he was just tired. I think he was tired of walking, so he thought, I'll just get a colt. Or, you know, he always had a wish, a lifelong wish to kind of enter into the city like a king, so he had disciples, they do whatever he tells them, he just tells them to go get a colt, and he rides in kind of like a king. You know, a lot of people do that. They speculate. And then they build conclusions about Christ or Christianity all based on conjecture. Also not a good option. Don't assume, don't speculate. There's a third option, and this is the one that God wants you to take. In fact, it's commanded time and time and time again in Scripture. Seek. S-E-E-K. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If you will seek for understanding as for silver, if you will seek for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Proverbs 2, verses 4 and 5. The wise person, the wise Christian man, the wise Christian woman, the wise young person, when you come to things in Scripture and you have questions that are not answered, the wise person will seek an answer. That's what we want to do this morning. Mark doesn't say this was done because or this was done that, so we need to go seeking. Now, we have a definite advantage over first century readers of Mark's gospel. They could seek as well. They could ask Peter, or they could ask Paul, or they could maybe go to the rabbis, or they could try and look for Scripture. We have the faith once for all delivered to the saints in a single book. So let's go back towards the beginning of the Bible, about 20 pages, go back to Matthew's account. Go back to Matthew's account. By the way, all four gospel writers record the triumphal entry. But go back to Matthew 21. Matthew 21, in my Bible, it's about 20 pages earlier. And in Matthew's gospel, we read this same account beginning at verse 1. Matthew 21, verse 1. And we're answering the question, why? Now when they drew near Jerusalem, we know who they is, Jesus, his disciples, and a large crowd from Jericho, and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Interesting, a little more detail there. You will find a donkey and a colt tied. That's not a contradiction, that's an added detail, and that's the blessing and the benefit of multiple gospel accounts. As you read all four, you get the full picture. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. Verse 4. All this was done that, here we go, the first of four answers to our question, why? Here's the first of four answers to our question, why? Why Palm Sunday? All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying. Stop there. Why Palm Sunday? Because there was a prophecy of God to be fulfilled. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem on a colt, the foal of a donkey, in order to fulfill the prophecy of God. There was a prophecy to be fulfilled. There's the short answer. That's the first of four answers. Why Palm Sunday? Because there was a prophecy to be fulfilled. And part of Christ's purpose in life was to fulfill the Word of God. You might remember that Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 17, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. Some people think that Jesus, you know, there was an Old Testament God. He was kind of angry. He was kind of a God of wrath. But Jesus came to kind of reveal a different side of God. No, that is not true. Not true at all. Jesus did not come to take anything away from what is to be learned in the law or the prophets, or to destroy any part of it at all. He says, I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And in part, the answer to the question, why Palm Sunday? In part, the answer is that there was a prophecy, a specific prophecy, actually a set of them, to be fulfilled. And what Jesus did on Palm Sunday was to fulfill the promise of God. That's very significant. Why? Because God is faithful to His Word. And everything God has ever promised will be fulfilled. I quoted to you Matthew 5:17. Matthew 5:18 says this, Assuredly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled. Jot and tittle were the smallest strokes of the pen in the Hebrew language. It would be like saying not one cross of a T or not one dot of an I. That's a way of saying that God's Word is perfect, absolutely perfect. Not one little stroke of the Word of God will be unfulfilled in the end. Everything that God has said will find its fulfillment. All His warnings of judgment will be meted out. All His promises of salvation will be fulfilled without a doubt. And so now you should wonder, what was the prophecy all about? Let's look. Matthew 21, verse 4. All this was done, Palm Sunday, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, verse 5, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. This gives us a second answer to the question, why Palm Sunday? The first one is there was a prophecy to be fulfilled. The second answer is there was a point to be made and to be made known. There was a point to be made and to be made known. And the point is Jesus is the King. That is the point of Palm Sunday. Jesus is the King. He is the Christ. He is the Savior. Note what the prophecy said. Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your King is coming to you. Who is He? He's the one that you see riding into Jerusalem, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. He's the one that you will see very humbly entering into the city on a donkey's colt. That was the point to be made. Jesus is the Jews' Messiah. He is the anointed one promised in many prophecies of the Old Testament. There was a point to be made, and it was to be made known. Notice what it says. Tell. Go tell it on the mountain. Go tell people. This one is the King. He's the Savior. He's the one to believe in. He's the one to trust in. Jesus is the Christ. That too is very significant. Did you know that the confession of the Christian faith, there are actually a couple places you might turn in Scripture if you were to try and say, what is really the most foundational confession of the Christian faith? One of them is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Surely you remember when Jesus said to His disciples, who do people say that I am? And some said, you're Elijah the prophet. You're Jeremiah. You're one of the prophets. You're John the Baptist. And then Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? By the way, there's the question of the Christian faith, and that is a question you ought to ask one another, yourselves. Who do you say Jesus Christ is? Jesus asked that of His disciples, and Simon Peter answering said, you are the Christ, meaning anointed one. And you are the Christ. You are the anointed one, meaning the promised anointed one, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, not the rock of Peter, which the Catholic Church is built on. We are not built on Peter. We are built on the rock foundation of truth. On this rock solid truth, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. The church that Jesus Christ is building is built on the rock-solid foundation of truth. And the most foundational truth is the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Who is He? He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the point that was to be made on Palm Sunday as Jesus came in riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey, was this is the King. Here is the King of the Jews. Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, look, your King is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. There was a point to be made, and a prophecy to be fulfilled. Two answers to the question, why Palm Sunday? But there's a third answer. And for that, we need to turn back to Zechariah 9:9. It's about 20 pages earlier in my Bible. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And here we have the full prophecy. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Again, turning towards the front of your Bible, about 20 pages from Matthew 21. And in Zechariah 9, 9, in fact, we'll read verses 9 and 10. It says this, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion." Daughter, a reference to the people of Zion. Okay, daughter. Why refer to the people of Zion as a daughter? Because the people were to be married to her king. That's why. Why call the people of Jerusalem the daughter of Zion? Because this daughter was to be married to her king. And the king is Jesus Christ. So, Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout," as in shout for joy, "O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold," look at this, "your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation." Here's the third answer to why Palm Sunday. There was a people to be saved. There was a prophecy to be fulfilled, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem to fulfill it. And there was a point to be made and made known. Jesus entered into Jerusalem to make the point that he's the king. But there was also a people to be saved. The people who were to be joined to Jesus Christ like a bride to her groom. "Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So who were the people to be saved by this great king? Well, from verse 9, it would be the people of Jerusalem, right? "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, and shout, O daughter of Jerusalem." It's the Jews. But look at verse 10. Here he speaks, "I will cut off the chariot of Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations," the Gentiles. This king will actually go and be a light to the Gentiles and take salvation to those who are not Jews. A people who were not God's people will be called God's people. There was a people to be saved, both from among the Jews and from among the Gentiles. Why Palm Sunday? Jesus was coming to bring salvation to the Jews and to the Gentiles. "He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion as king shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." Sound familiar? To the uttermost parts of the earth. "You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." This king will be an eternal king. This king will be a universal king. Why Palm Sunday? There was a prophecy to be fulfilled. And there was a point to be made and to be made known that Jesus is the king. And there was a people to be saved. People from among the Jews and from among the Gentiles. You notice in if you're looking there in Zechariah 9, it does not say, "Tell the daughter of Zion." Why not? Because Matthew was quoting from two Old Testament prophecies. One is here in Zechariah 9. The other one is in Isaiah 62. So I'd like you to turn back there. That's more than 20 pages towards the front. It's more about like 100 pages. But turn to Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62. Very quickly. Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62:11 was also being quoted in Matthew's gospel. Just a part of it, but enough to take us back here. Why Palm Sunday? Well, there was a prophecy to be fulfilled, actually several of them. And there was a point to be made that Jesus is the Christ, and there was a people to be saved from among both the Jews and the Gentiles. Verse 11, Isaiah 62:11. indeed the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion. Matthew quoted this. Say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. Here's the fourth reason, the fourth why of Palm Sunday. There was a work to be done. There was a work to be done. Jesus entered into the city of Jerusalem on a colt, the foal of a donkey, to do a work. What was it? The cross. Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem one last time to die, to sacrifice his life on the cross as a substitutionary sacrifice for the sins of the world. That's why Palm Sunday. And Jesus knew it. Many times before he ever came to this point in his ministry, he said to his disciples, the Son of Man is going up to Jerusalem, and he will be betrayed, and he will be delivered into the hands of the authorities, and they will put him to death, but he will rise on the third day. Why Palm Sunday? Why do we remember this? Because there was a prophecy to be fulfilled, and Jesus on Palm Sunday entered on a colt, the foal of a donkey, to fulfill the Word of God. And there was a point to be made and to be made known, and that point is that Jesus Christ is the Anointed One. He's the King. He's the Savior. He is the only way of salvation. And there was a people to be saved, people from among Jews and Gentiles. And the way for them to be saved is to make that point known, to make the truth known that Jesus is the Savior. And there was a work to be done, a price to be paid. The work of Jesus Christ on the cross. You say, well, gee, did the disciples know all that? John chapter 12, and we'll end here. John records the same account in his gospel, John chapter 12, beginning at verse 12, says, the next day a great multitude that had come to the feast, the Passover feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees, and they went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, save now! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Verse 16, John 12, 16. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him, and that they had done these things to him. What things? One day they cried out, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And a few short days later they cried out, crucify him. And they put the King of the Jews to death on a cross. And later they understood these things had been done to him, to the Christ. And what did the apostles do after Jesus was glorified? They went out to tell people, you put to death the King of glory, the Holy One, but God has raised him up from the dead and has made him both Lord and Christ. Why Palm Sunday? There is a brief answer. There's a brief answer to the question. And today, we remember. Not just by remembering Palm Sunday, but by partaking of communion together. Today, we remember why Christ came. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, which is so deep and so rich and so broad. We thank you that you do give us answers to our questions. We thank you for sending Christ, the King, the Savior. Thank you that he came into Jerusalem to fulfill your word. Thank you, God, that he made the point and made known that he is the King. Thank you that there is a people to be saved, and it's sinners like us. Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We thank you that he came to do that work, the work of sacrificing his perfect life on the cross once for all for sins. Thank you that He has risen up from the dead. And today, we remember Him. And we pray, God, that You would make this known. Use us to make this known around us and to the uttermost parts of the earth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.